church. Happy Family Sunday. I don't know what you say back to that. So, okay, sorry about that. So, all right, let's bring up, if you are fifth grade and under, come on up. I have a craft for you and my two helpful assistants. Yeah, you're going to want this. It's really, really, really cool. Okay, so this is a craft that talks about Lent. We're about halfway through Lent, and so it's like a friendly reminder for us. You can stay here for a second. Hey, they're like running and going. Man, okay. So it's a wheel that tells you about Lent, and you get to color it while I'm doing the sermon. She's like, no thanks. Wow, rejected. Okay. And it talks about fasting. Does anybody know what fasting is? Anybody know what fasting is? It means to give something up, to not eat something. Everybody's just leaving. All right. Oh, it's all right. Oh, thank you. Okay, I'll talk to you too. Yeah. Oh, Lake, you want to come over here? Yeah, come on over, Lake. So you get to color this. And it talks about Lent. And when we do Lent, we give something up, and that's really hard to give up something that we love, right? And so then, at the end, we celebrate Easter, and that's when Jesus died on the cross on that Friday and rose from the dead, and we all celebrate. What does it look like to celebrate? Do you jump and throw up your hands? Yeah, like, woo! And so on Easter, we're going to celebrate. Okay, you can go color. Gosh, it wasn't even that long. My goodness. The attention span of these children, I'm just kidding. But there's something else that I would like, there's a couple things I want to celebrate this morning. One is you saw our worship team up here. Every single Sunday, they actually do that worship team in their own classrooms back there. They do the worship team together. The fifth graders are the worship team leaders, and they worship together, and they learn together at their level. And then on Family Sunday, it's a day that we get to practice sitting in church together. So today is a way that we worship together, all together, but every other Sunday they get to be back there and learn at their own level. And today they get to use these cool things. But there's something else amazing that I want to celebrate this morning. We're in the campaign. You heard Miss Leslie talk about we're going to have a party on the 19th, and I'm really excited about that. But today, we just crossed over to bringing in over $1 million. Yeah. So it's a really big day because we've only been at it for 1 year. It's a 3-year campaign, and so we already have $1 million in, like not just pledged, in. We actually have it here, and it's over a million. You can look at your emails to get the exact number because it's really exciting that we're doing that. And I'm really thankful as the Arlington campus pastor because you all are having one service over here. And look at this gigantic room. We are having one service over there as well. Today, this morning, there were 155 people at the Arlington campus. That means we all, yeah. But we all have to squeeze into one service that day, which it will be amazing. It'll probably be one of those days like standing room only. It'll be really exciting. But really, like just in time for us to build a building that's big enough so that we can actually have a service where everyone can worship together. It has been growing out there a lot, and it's been really, really fun to be a part of what God is doing. And that's what you all are a part of. When I think about that $1 million and that commitment, that is you being committed to the bigger picture, to that ministry that God is doing. It's not just here, it's over there. And it's not just over there, it's over here. And so it's happening, and we're all a part of that, and we're doing that together as one church. So I want to say a huge, huge thank you for that. Let me pray for us before we jump into the word. God, I'm thankful that you have brought us all together here this morning to hear from you. We thank you for the kids that are in the room and how you're going to minister to them this morning in a different way than you do on other days. And we ask, God, that you would shift and change and transform each one of us this morning as we look at your word together. Amen. So back in the 90s, my oldest sister invited me to be in her wedding. And I will tell you, I was over the moon. I couldn't believe that she was asking me because I was 18 at the time and I had waited my whole life. I kept wanting to be the flower girl in somebody's wedding. I don't know if anybody else had these ambitions, but I did. I was like, I want to be the cute little girl that walks down the aisle. And I never got asked. And then at 18, my older sister, she said, would you be one of the bridesmaids? And I was like, oh my gosh, yes, yes. What a dream come true. I was so excited. My younger sister got to be in the wedding as well. And it was in the 90s, Laura Ashley was really popular. And some of you are like, I don't know who Laura Ashley is. So imagine florals and cute dresses, right? Well, they were cute then. They're not cute now. But so my older sister wanted to have a garden wedding with the floral. And so she actually picked out material and a pattern for these dresses. So here's the dress that I wore. Oh, that's so cute, isn't it? So this is me at age 18, wearing my sister's bridesmaid dress that she wanted us all to wear. So my younger sister had a dress as well. But we had to get these made. And I am so thankful that I had a mom at the time who was invested in this. She paid for it, number one. I still remember her writing that check. Remember checks? $68. We found a seamstress. I wouldn't have been able to find a seamstress at 18 years old. And we had to go for fittings. Like, she made sure that we arrived, we got it all done, and it happened. It was beautiful. And my hair isn't short in this. It's actually in a French braid with baby's breath, which was also the thing at the time. It was quite the, but I was thrilled to be in this wedding and was all about every single one of those fittings and was so excited. And actually, as I was preparing for the sermon, it reminded me the passage of scripture that we are going to get into today about that excitement of a wedding celebration and getting to be a part of a wedding. So today we're actually going to be in Matthew 25. So if you want to follow along, we're going to be in Matthew 25. And I'm going to just be real honest from the beginning. I had never preached this passage before because it's called the parable of the 10 virgins. And I was a youth pastor for 24 years. I would not have gotten very far in the preaching and teaching. So I had never preached this sermon before or even really taught on it. But as I dug in, I realized it's actually the parable of 10 bridesmaids. Why didn't they just call it the parable of 10 bridesmaids? And then I would have been able to preach it much, much easier. But anyway, so all right, the Lord knows what he's doing. So here we go. Matthew 25 verse 1 says this, at that time the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Okay, this is not 10 brides. I think a lot of people have read this as 10 brides. It's not 10 brides. It's actually 10 bridesmaids. Because back then, what the bridesmaids did, they didn't walk down the, you know how we do it now, you walk down the aisle, each bridesmaid comes down the aisle before the bride. Well, the bridesmaids then, they waited for the groom to come to them. And then they would lead him through the streets to the place of celebration, okay? Whoop, flips everything up in your mind as you start to read the story. Okay, verse 2 says this, 5 of them were foolish and 5 were wise. The foolish one took their lamps but did not take any oil with them. The wise ones, however, took oil in jars along with their lamps. Okay, another thing you need to know, you could not legally walk through the streets at that time without a torch. So these lamps are actually torches that they would be walking through the streets to light their way. Illegal to walk through the streets without a torch. Ah, see where this is going? Okay, verse 5. The bridegroom was a long time in coming, and they became drowsy and fell asleep. Now, we have to know that all of them became drowsy and fell asleep because sometimes in scripture, the word sleep means died, not in this passage. It doesn't mean that they died in this passage. They just fell asleep. It's really talking about the watchfulness when it's talking about sleeping here. Okay, Now, here's why we're talking about watchfulness, is because actually this story is talking about what is happening in chapter 24. Okay, so now I'm backing up into chapter 24. And chapter 24, all of chapter 24 is about the second coming of Christ and Jesus, God telling us all about the second coming. Okay, so here's what it says in 24, verse 36. It says, "But about that day or hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father." So only the Father knows. And the reason that we are reading this story of the 10 bridesmaids is because Jesus wanted us to understand this concept from chapter 24. And so he goes on to say in verse 8, he says this, "The foolish ones said to the wise, 'Give us some of your oil, our lamps are going out.' 'No,' they replied, 'there may not be enough for both of us and you. Instead, go to those who sell oil and buy some for yourselves.'" Okay, so we have been told that in the second coming of Christ, we won't know the day or the hour, but we also will not know our day of death. Anybody have that on their calendar? I do not. I'm so thankful. That scares me to death to think about, like, oh my gosh, what if you knew that day? Wouldn't that be weird? Oh, anyway. Someone at the Arlington campus said, "I'd love that." I'm like, I would not like that. I'd be doing all sorts of weird stuff, I'm pretty sure. But in this parable, this being ready that he's talking about, he wants us to know that it is not transferable and it cannot be shared. I think about that morning of my sister's wedding. If one of us sisters had woken up and one of us had not gone to the fittings and gotten our dress made, that morning we couldn't have swapped dresses. We were different sizes. We also could not have shared a dress. That would have been a whole nother scene, right? Trying to share one of those dresses would not have worked. And back in the 90s, they were very strict about weddings. If you didn't have the dress, you didn't get to stand up front, right? You not only had to have the dress, you had to have matching shoes and the same hairdo, right? Like it was a thing. And so if I had woken up that morning and I'd be like, "I'm just going to run to TJ Maxx and find a dress," there's no way that would have been okay and that would not have flown. And I will say, as far as these 10 bridesmaids, the wedding party, it wouldn't have just been me who was sad that I didn't get to be in the wedding that day. It would have been the whole bridal party, right? Like my younger sister would have been so sad that we weren't going to be doing it together, right? So it is a corporate moment where we would have been sad if one of us wasn't ready. They say, I've heard this before, someone said, there are no grandchildren in the kingdom of God. There are only children. Each one of us has to make the decision to follow Christ. Each one of us has to make that commitment to Jesus ourselves. We cannot just say, "Well, I was born into a Christian family." Or we cannot say, "Oh, well, I went to church every single Sunday." It doesn't work that way. That's not how it goes. But we're going to look at Matthew 24 again. And to hear from a different angle about being prepared for the day or the hour. Verse 37 in chapter 24. "As it was in the days of Noah, so it will be in the coming of the Son of Man. For in the days before the flood, people were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage up to the day Noah entered the ark. And they knew nothing about what would happen until the flood came and took them all away. That is how it will be at the coming of the Son of Man." Jesus is coming, and we don't know when. We will die, and we don't know when. When I was reading this, I actually started to think about 2020, COVID. If someone had said to me, "Hey, we're about to shut down the entire world for a couple of months / years," I never would have believed them. I'm like, you're kidding. I'm sure some of the people in Noah's day were like, "Psh, that's not going to happen. We live in a desert, right?" And I remember getting ready for COVID and thinking, none of us have any clue what to do, but we were making stuff up, weren't we? Yeah. 2-3 days beforehand, what did we all do? We all ran out and bought toilet paper. Yes, we did. We were ready for COVID. We were making stuff up. We had no idea. At the time, I was a pastor in a church of 10,000 people. There were 5 campuses. And I remember the Zoom call that I jumped onto, and all 150 of us are on this Zoom call. And I remember the big bosses, started to say some things. And I thought to myself, whew, I'm glad I'm not the boss right now. I'm glad someone else is making the decisions. They got on and they told us how we were going to do this. And I was like, thank goodness, I'm so glad that I am not a solo pastor right now, because I would have no idea what to do, but I would have had to make stuff up. Right? We all made stuff up. A lot of it didn't even work, but we made stuff up. Now, Noah had God telling him exactly what to do. And Noah did exactly what God said. And I was thinking about this. I went to the ark experience and I was like, oh my gosh, I didn't even think about all the animals and all the poop that would have been on the boat. I had no idea. I just got some kids' attention. Yeah. There had to be a way for that to get off the boat during the ride. Right? And so that's where the ark experience, I was like, wow, this is mind-blowing, and I'm really glad that Noah paid attention and did everything that God told him to do. It's all in the scriptures, like, do exactly this. I don't know why, until I went to the ark experience. I was like, oh yeah, that makes sense. You got to do that. And everybody survived. His family lived because they did exactly what God told them to do. It's important. Do exactly what God tells us to do. So at the time that Jesus is telling this story, there would not have been a lot of confusion around it, because it was the way that people lived in that culture. When someone was getting married in town, everybody was excited. Everybody was on board. Everybody kind of wanted to celebrate with the family. In fact, when the groom would come, the groom, by the way, represents Jesus. When the groom would come to the bridesmaids, that is actually when they would get the torches out, and then they would go through the town, but they wouldn't take the fastest way to the place of celebration. They wove through all, they took the longest way so that people could celebrate with them and throw blessings on them and encourage them as they were going to get married. And it was a big fun celebration for the whole town to be on board with it. As I was doing some research, as I was reading, one of the commentaries renamed this parable, The Fate of the Unprepared. Dun, dun, dun. Like, I wish it had said that, because I really could have preached that in student ministry, right? The Fate of the Unprepared. Like, be prepared. Anyway, but it gets right to the deeper meaning of the whole thing. Like, this is your fate if you don't get prepared. And I love that it was just so clear. I couldn't just go find another dress that day, or I wouldn't have been. I had to have the right one, or I wouldn't have been a part of the celebration. I'm going to keep going in the parable. Verse 10 says this: but while they were on their way to buy the oil, the bridegroom arrived. The virgins who were ready went in with him to the wedding banquet, and the door was shut. Later, the other ones came. Lord, Lord, they said, open the door for us. But he replied, truly I tell you, I do not know you. I don't know about you, but in the 80s, when I was growing up, when that doorbell rang, we all 4 of us kids would leap off the couch, come flying down the stairs. We'd fling the door open to see who is at the door, and we'd be like, hey! And we'd be so excited for whoever was there, and we're like, come on in! You know what happens at our house now when the doorbell rings? Did you invite someone? I didn't invite someone, did you? No. Okay, so look at the video, right? You are worried about who is on the outside of that door. And my husband will still say this to me sometimes as he leaves for work some days. He's like, don't open the door to anybody you don't know. That's what it'll be like. The door will not be open to anyone that Jesus does not know. Verse 13. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know the day or the hour. Going back into chapter 24 to verse 42, it says this. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know on what day your Lord will come. But understand this, if the owner of the house had known at what time of night the thief was coming, he would have kept watch and would not have let his house be broken into. So you also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you are not expecting him. We don't know when Jesus will come again. And in these two passages, he clearly says to us, the reason that Jesus used parables is because we remember stories better than we do like an abstract spiritual idea. It's actually, there's research, it's like 22% more likely to remember something if it's given in a story. And who would know that but the creator of our beings, right? And so Jesus was telling us a story so that we would know and remember. But in this passage, he doesn't say how to get ready. He just keeps repeating, get ready, get ready, get ready. So I'm actually going to jump over into the book of Romans for a moment. And if you're a kid and you can write things down, you can flip your little wheel over for a second. Because Lent is all about thanking Jesus for saving me. And so we're going to actually talk about that for a moment. So you can flip that over and you're going to write down a couple of verses because your parents are going to want them later. This is just for them. You're writing them down for them. If you don't remember them later, you can actually Google the Roman Road. And I actually use the Roman Road all the time when I'm leading someone to Christ. And even as a pastor, still today, when someone's like, hey, I want to get ready and I want to know who Jesus is, I want to start a relationship, or I'm afraid to die, like I panic still. Anybody else panic when someone asks them, like, lead me to Jesus, right? So I actually put a little RR next to all of these verses in my Bible so that when I'm a little bit nervous, when I'm talking to somebody about them coming into the kingdom of God, I've got it right here. And so the first one is Romans 3:23, and it says this, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Now, all of us would be like, oh, yeah, I've sinned, you know, but we don't always, like, think of it as a big deal, and we don't always associate it with being ready. Like, admitting that is a part of being ready. Now, as we move into Romans 6, that's the next verse I want you to look at. Romans 6:23. We see a piece that might feel a little confusing at first. So we all admit that we've sinned. So Romans 6:23 says this, for the wages of sin is death. The cost of sin, the price of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord, in Christ Jesus our Lord. It is important for us to understand these two, but it feels a little bit arbitrary. If you haven't grown up in church, you're like, but why? I don't understand. And you actually have to rewind all the way to Genesis when God created the world perfect and he's got Adam and Eve and they're perfect. And then he says, but I want them to have the ability to choose to be to love me, to be in relationship with me. And so he says to them that you can either follow my ways or not. And they don't. But then he's like, but I love them so much, I want them to have a way back. And so what he does is he actually takes one of their animals. When they sinned, they realized that they were naked. And so what God did was that he slaughtered one of the animals, and it says in Genesis 21 that God made garments of skin for Adam and his wife to clothe them. These were the very animals that they had named. Adam had named all of them. They were close to him. You have to see that in this moment, this was a huge sacrifice, but it was the way back to be in relationship with God. And then you see throughout the Old Testament, they're doing animal sacrifices. And again, if you haven't been in the church, you're like, that is weird. Why are they doing that? And it was this sacrifice. It was the best of the best of their animals that they were sacrificing to God for forgiveness of sins, to be back in relationship with him. And so once you understand this, Romans 5, we're going to Romans 5, 6 through 9 makes more sense. You see, at just the right time, when we are still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though for a good person, someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since we have now been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? Jesus Christ became the once and for all sacrifice, so we no longer had to sacrifice our animals that mean a lot to us that we name. For those of us who are animal people, praise the Lord, right? Jesus made that once and for all sacrifice for us. Romans 10:9 says this, and this is the part of the passage that if you're with someone, or if this you're hearing this for the first time, or you've heard it 100 times but you haven't locked in that I need to actually have a relationship with Jesus, but I get it today that I do need to have a relationship with him. This is the main piece. If you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Jesus Christ needs that commitment from us. We don't get to just say, well, I came to church a lot, or I know my kid would follow Jesus if he wasn't such a wreck, right? Like, we all have to make that personal commitment to Jesus Christ, and this is how we do it. It is that simple. So this is how we get ready. If we are one of the 10 bridesmaids, we can be ready when the groomsman comes. We can be ready when Jesus comes, whether we are dead or alive, when the second coming comes, or when we die, we can be ready by praying this prayer with him. And then it says this in Romans 5:1. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into his grace in which we now stand, and we boast in the hope of the glory of God. When I preached this a couple weeks ago at the Arlington campus, I had been in a dialogue with someone who's been coming to our church for a little while, and she had been talking to me about how terrified she was about death. And after I talked about the Roman road on Sunday morning, she came up to me. She's like, I finally have peace. I finally have peace. This is the reality. And so whether you jotted these down to share with someone else, or this was for you specifically this morning, this is how we get ready. This is how we get into relationship with God. The Jewish people at that time would have understood this story to a T. They would have been all in. They knew all of these things. And so it's interesting that he told this story, because they should have been the very first ones to be like, this is the Messiah. Because they had been waiting for the Messiah. They had been waiting for him to come, and they had been following the Old Testament prophets, and they had been listening and looking for the Jesus to come. And here he was, and here's Jesus. He's got to tell them in a parable. This, I'm the Messiah. I'm the one that will come again. I am the one who will save you from your sins. And the last verse that I want to read before we finish today is actually back in Matthew, and we're going to read chapter 24, verse 50. The master of that servant will come on a day when he does not expect him, and at an hour he is not aware of. He is going to come. We don't know when. We are going to die someday. We don't know when. But we do need to be ready, and he tells us how. He's laid it out in Scripture clearly so that we can be ready. And so this morning, as we close in prayer, I'm actually going to do what I call the polite prayer. You know, you teach your children to say sorry and to say please and to say thank you. So we're going to pray this real simple prayer together. And if you've never prayed this prayer together, you've never prayed this prayer, you can pray it in your heart this morning as a way of stepping into relationship with God. The sorry is saying sorry for your sins. The please is, please will you be Lord of my life. And then the thank you is thanking him for dying on the cross for us. Let's pray together. God, this morning, some of us come as people who have people around us who don't know who you are, and we are longing for them to be in relationship with us. We want them to be in relationship with you. God, we love them. We want them to be at the celebration. God, I think about if I didn't have that dress ready and couldn't be in the family picture, my mom would have been heartbroken. God, we ask this morning that you would allow our hearts to be shifted and changed and transformed. And so first, Jesus, we say, we're sorry that we have sinned against you and that we've gone our own way, and we surrender to you. And secondly, God, we say, please, Lord, will you be the Lord of my life? I cannot do it on my own. I know I cannot get to heaven on my own. I need your sacrifice. And finally, we say thank you, Jesus. Thank you for going to the cross so that I could be saved. God, we come before you this morning knowing that we are in the season of Lent, which means to prepare our hearts for your celebrating coming out of the grave. God, we are thankful that you were willing to go to the cross so that we could be forgiven of our sin, and it is a once and for all done. Lord, we thank you for anybody that came into relationship with you this morning. There's a celebration in heaven right now for those souls, and we ask, God, that you would allow us as people who've known you for years to be able to share this good news with others so that others can come to know you. God, we love you, and we trust you, and we thank you for your gift of eternal life. In your name we pray. Amen.